fabulous, isn't it? Schumann marked the music sehr lebhaft, very lively, and it is. It's also a relative rarity and a treat to hear it in the concert hall. I'm WBJC's Jonathan Polewski, and this is a Baltimore Symphony Orchestra podcast for Robert Schumann's Konzertstück, or concert piece, for four horns and orchestra, Count 'em Four, Opus 86. In 1844, Robert and Clara Schumann left Leipzig for Dresden. Robert's health had deteriorated, and his depression was severe. It took a while, but eventually things improved, and the composer described the year 1849 as one of his most fruitful. Indeed, with some 30 new works composed, it rivals the 1840 year of song. One of Schumann's chamber works of this time was an Adagio and Allegro for horn and piano. The piece featured the relatively new valved horn, the Ventilhorn, a substantial improvement on the older natural or hunting horn. Unlike its predecessor, which was unable to play all the notes in all the keys, the newer horn allowed for all the chromatic notes to sound and blend well together. Schumann loved the new instrument, and along with fellow Dresden composer Richard Wagner, was among the first to write masterpieces for it. As mentioned earlier, it's rare to hear this work in concert, and one of the reasons is that you don't need just one or two fabulous horn players, you need four. Valved or not, the horn is reputed to be the most difficult instrument to play, and Schumann makes considerable demands on his soloists, both technically and musically. Not only do they have to be fabulous, but they have to sound great together. Our four horns need to blend like a string quartet. This is not for the timid, and should not be tried at home. Fortunately, the Dresden Court Orchestra possessed an excellent first horn player named Joseph Rudolf Levy. As they say in The Sounds of Music, let's start at the very beginning. It is a very good place to start, I'm told. The title Konzertstück, concert piece. Generally, these are one-movement pieces for soloist and orchestra. They're generally shorter and perhaps a tad lighter than three-movement full-blown concertos. Schumann's piece is written in one continuous movement, i.e., the music never totally stops. But there are three distinct sections, which, like a concerto, are fast, slow, fast. You could almost call them movements. This is a concerto in everything but name, and perhaps at 16 minutes, length. Schumann did himself no favors with the Konzertstück title, and had this been called Concerto for Four Horns and Orchestra, it would have received more respect and more performances. The unofficial, and for that matter, attempted premiere took place in Dresden on October 15, 1849, with piano rather than orchestra. For whatever reason, either the soloist couldn't play it or didn't like it, the actual premiere took place in Leipzig at the Gewandhaus on February 25, 1850. Before we get to the music, maybe tease me a few words on Schumann's orchestration. If you're writing for four solo horns, a quartet, which can make a joyful and frankly loud noise, it behooves you to have an orchestra that can stand up to them. Schumann says this is written for großes Orchester and a big orchestra, and writes for piccolo, double winds, which are flutes, oboes, clarinets, bassoons, a sizable orchestral horn section, never mind the soloists, of two old-style natural horns and two newer valved horns, trumpets, three trombones, timpani, and strings. Initially, Schumann thought of writing the solo parts for two valved horns and two natural horns. I can't imagine this would work, but anything is possible. Today, all four parts are played on the modern valved instruments. Finally, to the music, mes petits amis. The opening movement is marked lebhaft, or lively, and by gosh it is. After two big chords, we meet the horns. They make a grand entrance with the thematic material for our first theme. It's fanfare-like and perfectly suited to the horn. Note that the horns are immediately echoed by the strings. I should mention that this movement, like most of Schumann's first movements, is written in sonata form. This means we will be introduced to a couple of themes in the exposition, develop them in the aptly named development, and then meet them again in the recapitulation. Very soon after this, we get a second theme for the horns that is more lyrical. Here, Schumann has the horns start out lyrically and then takes them up into the stratosphere. Unbelievable virtuosity demanded. Here is the hymn-like end of the exposition. After a brief orchestral interlude, the development begins with lyrical theme 2. Here is some development of fanfare-like theme 1. Notice the strings have the fanfare, while the horns have blaring chords. Now the horns quite rightly take over the theme. The recapitulation of the opening fanfare is positively thrilling. As mentioned before, the work is in one large movement with three distinct sections. The opening Lebhaft section ends with a long orchestral interlude. The middle section is much slower and a romanza or romance, essentially a song without words. Schumann marks it ziemlich langsam, doch nicht schleppend, somewhat slowly, but don't let it drag. Schumann was a fabulous songwriter, and here he is in fine form. Like many of Schumann's songs or romances, this movement is in ternary or ABA format. Here is the contrasting middle B section. Towards the end of the short section, the music of the A section returns. Suddenly, a trumpet fanfare is heard from afar. This is our signal that the final section, marked sehr lebhaft, very lively, is about to begin. Strap in, mes petits amis, it's going to be an amazing ride. While our horns may have valves now, they still know how to hunt. Listen here how Schumann builds the excitement into an ascending scale for three of the horns, which he marks mit bravour, with bravura. Our development section sounds like a Mendelssohnian scherzo from A Midsummer Night's Dream. Schumann and Mendelssohn were close friends and colleagues. Mendelssohn had just passed away 2 years ago, and I wonder if Schumann was thinking of him. Another interesting surprise is that for a contrasting interlude in this third fast section, Schumann uses the B section of the romance we've just heard. Finally, at the end of the piece, everything speeds up a bit and the horns deliver the goods. So what's great about Robert Schumann's Konzertstück for four horns and orchestra? One, the spectacle of four horns performing in front of the orchestra and before your very eyes. Granted, music isn't the Olympics and soloists aren't gladiators, but this is a pretty thrilling piece to see and hear. Two, Robert Schumann knew how to write for the horn. While horn players in his time might have had serious difficulties with this music, our current players can really nail it. Schumann's music for the instrument is both idiomatic and beautiful. 3. Good things come in small packages. Schumann didn't have the material for an extended concerto, and so he didn't write one. At 17 minutes or so, this is just about perfect. 4. Good things come in big packages. Schumann's large and frankly macho orchestra is the perfect partner for his four heroic horns. 5. This is Robert Schumann at his most ebullient. Robert Schumann was a troubled man. He suffered from either bipolar syndrome or manic depression. Take your pick. Whatever we call it, Robert Schumann was prone to periods of intense depression and intense productivity. In our Konzertstück for four horns and orchestra, we catch him at his most productive and most enthusiastic. And this is frankly a blessing. I'm WBJC's Jonathan Polewski, and this has been a Baltimore Symphony Orchestra podcast for Robert Schumann's Konzertstück, or concert piece for four horns and orchestra, Opus 86.